Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know a better place to be. And we're looking for Jesus to come one day soon, sooner than we think, I'll tell you that. But we're always going to look for the uppertaker, not the undertaker, okay? That's the main thing we have. But it's great to be in God's house today. We take that for granted, don't we? And we're going to see greater persecution on God's people than ever before in our nation. We need to pray for our nation. And we're in bad shape right now spiritually, really are. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to a great book in the Bible that always will help us in our Christian life, in John chapter 15. If you turn with me in your Bibles for just a moment. And I'd like to read verses 7 through 13. And let's all stand, please, as I read God's word for just a moment. And I like these verses. It says in John chapter 15, verse 7 through 13, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that shall ye also be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." And then he says, "Greater love had no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends." Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come before you now in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you're the shepherd of our life, you're our friend of our life, you're our Savior, our Redeemer, and coming King. And we pray this morning that you speak to our hearts, Lord. We are very needful of you. We know that without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, bless the word of God this morning. Speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here has never asked Christ to be their Savior, that they'll be saved today. And we ask all these things in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. It's good to have you in God's house and reading God's Word together. And I just want to share with you just for a moment that churchianity is not Christianity. It's not. It's a relationship, isn't it? It's our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis. And we're going to see in this great chapter we're going to share with you in just a moment what it really means to abide in Christ. He wants to have that fellowship with us. We know a lot of people that get saved, but they don't have that fellowship like they should in their personal life. And it does make a difference. And I know that I heard this saying many years ago, the book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the book. And how true that is. It does that. But I want to give you a little thoughts about, before we get to chapter 15 and read these verses. John is writing this to us. John wrote five books in the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And God used him in a mighty way. And he loved the Lord Jesus so much. This is not John the Baptist now. This is the beloved John. And he writes this to us. And three key words you'll find in all of his writings just about. There's three words. It all starts with L. And the first one is love. He always speaks about love that he has for the Lord Jesus Christ and that we need that love as well. He talks much about that. He talks about the Lord is the light of the world. And he is the light of the world. He's the only hope for the world. And then he talks about life. And I like that verse. In God's word in John 10:10, it says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We don't have to wait to get to heaven to have abundant life. We can have it now. And that's what he's talking about in John chapter 15 as we're going to read this. But in this chapter, in this book, we'll find seven great I am's. And I'm just going to share a few of those. I'm just going to go through them and then we'll get on the last one, I am the vine. But he says, "I am the bread of life." He talks about that in John 6:35. He said, "I am the light of the world." John 8:12. "I am the door." 10:9. And then I am the good shepherd. And aren't you glad that Jesus is a shepherd by life? He's that good shepherd, and he's a great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd of our life. And that chief shepherd is coming for his church soon. And we see this in God's word. But and then he says this, and what a great promise we have today. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, when our loved ones pass away, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, they're not really dead. They're more alive than ever. They're with Jesus, the Son of God. They're in their real home, their eternal home. And that's a great promise we have from the Lord. And here's the world don't like this verse too much. A lot of them don't like, they think it, there's many ways to get to heaven. But there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He made it very clear in John 14, verse 6. Probably all y'all know this. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, he's saying there's no other way to get to the Father except through me. And I'm glad, and I know you have asked Christ to be your Savior. I know you're glad that you asked Christ to be your Savior, and you turned from your sins, and he made you whole, and he forgave you your sins, and you're a new person in Christ. And then the last one in chapter 15, and we're going to get in chapter 15 now. I am, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, he says in God's word, and my Father is the husbandman. And there's a lot of things I want you to notice about this chapter we're going to show. The word, one of the key words of this chapter is abide. He wants us to abide in him. It's mentioned 11 times in this book, in this one chapter. And it's an important word. And really what it means that you have that love relationship with the Lord in your life. And you abide in him and his word and the word of God. I tell you, in this world, is God's word. It's just going to, I just put it as simple as that. There's a lot of discouragement where you can see around us and about what's going on with our nation, our country, the world. But the only encouragement we're going to get is that love relationship with the Lord and getting in his word. And it says in the word, the word of God will keep us from being disobedient. It really will. And it says the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light in my path. It's right up on the board here on the wall. You can check me out real good on these verses I give to you. Isn't you glad? Aren't you glad that he gives us these words to help us in our life? And here's another verse I want you to look at here that's very important in this chapter. I like for us to look at the next word that's very important, and is the word fruit. And then this word fruit is mentioned 8 times, and it reminds us of the resurrection. 8 is always speaks of the resurrection number. And you got to have a resurrected life, boy, you can have resurrected fruit in your life. And that's what he wants us to do as God's people, to share that life that we have in Christ. You know, it really makes a difference. You know, people see you and you're in the grocery store or college or school or wherever it might be in the neighborhood. People, hey, there's something different about those people. You know, you're a testimony this morning to your neighbors already. You came to church in Sunday school. You didn't go to Cotton Spring Baptist. You know what that is, don't you? That's the springs and mattress on your bed. So we're glad you got out of Cotton Spring this morning to come here at New Hope Baptist Church. But he doesn't want us to stay home. He wants us to love him and to be an example to our friends and neighbors. But it does deals with a beginning of our life as we abide in him. I think of that great verse we all know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new person altogether. Before, we didn't have a lot of things going for us, really. But I like this, that we have a new relationship with Christ. We have a new relationship with his word that he gives us, that gives us hope. And he gives us a desire to serve him. All of us have a great joy to serve the Lord in our life. You might be a prayer warrior. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might be an usher. I don't know if y'all have deacons here yet or not, but if you're a deacon, that's a part of our service. And cleaning the church, taking care of the building. We have a heart to serve. He wants us to have a heart to serve. And that's very important in all our life. And I like this verse over in Luke 9:23. It says, "And he said unto me, unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." The Christian life is following the Lord. It's just following the Lord, what he wants out of our life more than anything. But to bear fruit in our life, we got to be connected to the vine, don't we? And the vine is Jesus. And he wants us to be connected. And that living fruit comes alive as we walk with him and talk with him and read his word. And it comes alive in our life, and we want to share. You can't help but share it, can you? You want to tell people about Jesus. You see people down and out, and no, they need the Lord as a Savior. But we know that without the Lord, we can do nothing. We can't. It's not a thing we can do. In this chapter we're going to read here now, is very important. He's going to give you four privileges that you have as a God's people. We're going to deal with each one of them. And as we read them, we're going to kind of go over each one that will help us in our Christian life. And I'd like to start with verse 7. In this verse 7, it tells us a lot of things that we have, the privilege of having. Look at verse 7. There's always a condition here. If you abide in him, it says, in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I think the first privilege that we have as God's people that we can pray. And how we need to pray. Prayer opens up the gate for all of us as God's people. We want a pastor here. Are we praying that God will send the right man that the Lord wants us to have here? That's what he wants us to do. When we don't pray, we'll get the wrong pastor. I guarantee you. I've seen that happen in churches before. People didn't pray. They just got the best one. Oh, we'll take him. And they got the wrong man. We want the man, God's man. That's the one you want. But he tells us about prayer. And I thank the Lord that we can go straight to the Lord in prayer. Look at, just for a moment, look at John chapter 14. About prayer, verse 13 and 14. I will read these verses to you. Here's a promise that we can claim as we pray and trust God for wherever it might be in your life, that he's going to answer it if you abide in him and in his word. Look what it says. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, we do ask in the name of Jesus. Why do we have to ask in the name of Jesus? I've heard that you've been around people never mentioned Jesus' name one time. When they pray, there's power in that name. There's power. When you mention that, boy, the devil flees right away when you pray in Jesus' name. But look what he says here in God's word. Ask in my name that I will do it. Now, listen here. We have limitations. Every one of us have limitations. But I want to let you know, the Lord Jesus has no limitation whatsoever. He's all powerful, all knowing. And he knows what's best for you and me in our lives. As we pray, he says that we'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And when we do pray, and God does something for us special in our life, do we keep it quiet? Do we keep it quiet? We don't tell anybody what the Lord did for me? No. You want to share. That's how God gets the glory. When we share what the Lord has done in my life and your life. And he wants us to give him all the glory and all the praise for what he's doing through me and through you. But look what else it says. If you ask anything in my name, and there's that promise again, I will do it. I just want to challenge you. If you don't have a developed prayer life, he wants you to develop that prayer life that he can speak to you through. He speaks to us through his word, and we pray to him, and he works in our lives. I've seen it so many times. I've been in visiting people, and I had the doctor come and tell the patient that you might as well call the funeral home. You're not going to go out of this hospital alive. And I've seen him walk out of the hospital. Do you know when people get prayed over for operation, they heal better than those that don't have no prayer at all? God is great. We got a great God. And I'm thankful that here in this great chapter, as it says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask, and it will be done unto you. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. We don't like to wait, do we? We like things done instantly, don't we? We want it done right now. But the Lord sometimes says wait to give you a chance to get things in order in your own life, that when it comes, you're going to be blessed. And he wants, you know what? He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I guarantee you that. And that's what he wants out of our life more than anything in this world. And I know that some great preachers have said much things about prayer. I like this one by R.A. Torrey. He says this, pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things. Above all, pray. We need to pray, don't we? We want God to do things. We need revival in our land. You know that? And it says over in Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will heal their prayer, hear their prayer, and heal their land. Our land needs healing. We need revival. And it's got to start with God's people, not the world. The world can't change it. When God's people get things right, their nation get things right. And you know, God uses evil people to get people back, God's people back on their knees. I look at the book of Habakkuk. Remember that prophet of God? And remember the Chaldeans came in on Israel, had turned their back on God. I imagine they didn't allow them to read the Bible in the church or schools, anything like that back then. Probably, well, they didn't have the Bible completely, but they... We're done that. We kicked out of our school system and everything. They allow everything else to be taught in our schools. We're going to see some hard times, but we got to humble ourselves. We got to realize, well, I can't send revival. You can't send revival. Only one person can send revival in our hearts, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to pray, humble ourselves, and seek him. It said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is, what? Near. He wants us to come to him and believe. And here's another quote by Adrian Rogers. Did a great quote. I like this one. Pray, believe, and you shall receive. Pray and doubt, you'll do without. And how true that is. Why we don't have anything in our life, why don't have our prayers in, we don't ever ask him to do anything. We just, well, it's going to happen anyway, you know. But we need to pray and believe. Believe is really rely and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants out of our life more than anything in this world. I like this great verse. You all probably know it. And it's Hebrews 6:11. And this is what it says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God or please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, that word believe means trust, rely completely on him, that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligent seek him. I remember when I was a teenager, we'd go to revivals, and there's about five or six fellows, we were going to a revival. One of us had to speak, and one was leading singing, and the other one was going to be counselor at this church. And the church was packed out when we got there, but we were running a little late, and the driver was speeding, and here comes a state trooper right beside us. We were doing probably 80 miles out. You know what? He just kept on going. We got to church on time. That's unusual, you know. But God does things unusual. He really does. He really does great things we've seen. But, you know, the book of Acts, you look at the book of Acts, where were they on the day of Pentecost? What were they doing? It says in God's word that all of them were in continuing one accord in prayer and supplication. And the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in their lives. And one of the evidence that we're saved and know Jesus Christ as a Savior, that he lives in our life. We got a partner. We're a partnership with him, and he's a partnership with us. And he does great things in our life. He just turns our lives completely around. How God can use you if we are yield to Him. That's what He wants out of us all together. And I'm thankful that He does all these things in our life. But let's go back to John chapter 15. He's still there, and we're going to go take the next verse. But He says He will act. If you ask anything, He will do it according to His will. Now look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Now it says He's going to answer our prayers. And here's the next one. It's very important. In verse 8, it says, "Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples." And one of the things the Lord wants us to be, that we know that we know Him as our Savior. We know that we're saved. We know we're going to go to heaven, and He wants you to bear fruit in your life. And there's different types of fruit. But look at verse 16 of the same chapter for just a moment. We're going to go down to verse 16, and look what it says. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and do what? Bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." And one thing He wants God's people to be fruitful in your life, be productive in your Christian life, and sharing the gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't let your knees be knocking. Now, when I was a teenager who asked me to come to Sunday school, I wouldn't even show up. I got so scared that they're going to make me read something or say something, and I didn't want to do it. But the Lord, when He saved me, He gave me boldness I didn't have in myself. But He gives you a desire to share God's word, that it will produce fruit. And I'm thankful that He tells us to do that in our Christian life. And I'm thankful that it says in John 4:35, it says, "Lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white already to harvest." The field's already white. Be in a place where God, be sensitive to people in need. It might be anywhere. I love to go to the hospitals, and I pray for somebody else in the other room, in the bed beside me. "Can you go in and pray for me?" Or you'd be walking down the hall, "Are you a minister?" And I say, "Yes, I am. Would you pray for me?" You know, they kind of pick you out if you're a minister or not. But how the Lord can use you in all different ways in our life, and I'm thankful. But it says in Proverbs 11:30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And He wants us to be wise in our Christian life. But remember this one little quote I'm going to give to you about witnessing. Witness is not something that we do for the Lord. It is something that He does through us. He will do it through you. You know, here's your church here. Just imagine if one person in this auditorium this morning would take time and share the gospel with somebody, at least win one person to the Lord this year, what a difference it would make in our church, and bring them in here and disciple them. It would really make a difference. I can't produce fruit. I can't do it. Only one can produce that fruit, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But He wants to use your lips. He wants to use your talents to be obedient and share the good news. I look for opportunities. Not a lot of people don't want to look for opportunities, but I look for opportunities to share the gospel. In the grocery store, man, Walmart is a mission field. Man, they got all kinds of people there. And I just enjoy going sharing the gospel. We always take ammunition with you when you go. And well, take some gospel tray. You got tracks back there, take some back. Take out daily breads. And I'm a marketplace chaplain as well. I go in the workplace, and I go in Express Oil, and they're getting their oil changed, and I'm there talking to people about the Lord. And this one guy said, "I'm going. Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going down to Mobile." I said, "Oh, you know Jesus Christ, your Savior?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." I said, "I wouldn't leave this place right now without coming to know Jesus." I said, "Well, I'd like to get saved. Can you show me how?" I said, "Sure can." And 15 minutes, when they got finished with the oil change, man, that man was saved. And well, that's what we call a quickie. I mean, you got to be right to the point, you know. You can't fool around. But you know what I'm asking? Do you think you want to, you know? But the Lord will save you. He wants to make you a new person in Christ. But that young man got saved. I gave him a Bible, gave him a gospel tract, and told him what he needed to do with his life. But we want to be fruitful in our Christian life. I worked in a grocery store in the produce department and produced fruits all the time. I think about the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians just one moment. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 22. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, it says in God's Word, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance means self-control. Against such there is no law. And the first three fruit that we are mentioned here, I cannot produce that. I cannot produce that. And like that verse right over there, it said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he one that produced that love that I don't have in myself. I'm very selfish in myself, aren't we? We're very selfish. We try to keep everything to ourselves. But that love is love from God. And I'm thankful. In Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. It's a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. He gives you that love. And you just can't keep quiet about telling people about Jesus. You know, when you're in love, you're going to tell everybody about it. When you get engaged, ladies, when you got your wedding engagement ring, what did you do? Did you hide it around under your coat all the time, your hand? No, look at that. Look what Jim gave me. I'm engaged now. You bragged about it. And you should brag about it, but you know we should brag on the Lord, because he gives us love that we don't have in ourselves. And look what else it says, these fruit that he's talking about. And this fruit, joy. I like that word, joy. You know, joy is contagious, isn't it? When you got joy, you're going to be happy. You're going to express what you really feel about things and enjoy life. And then peace that he gives in our life. And those are heavenly fruits right there. Those are fruit that he gives to you as an individual. These other ones we have to work on a daily basis. Being kind, having kindness, and long-suffering. And long-suffering just means you suffer long, you know. And gentleness, goodness. And here's a big one, faith. How do you get faith? You read Shakespeare? No, you don't read Shakespeare. You read God's Word, don't you? It says the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It said I'll hide his word in my heart, that I will not sin against God. We want to grow in the Lord and grow in faith. And who's the author of our faith? It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he wants us to have faith and believe that God can do it. He can win somebody I can't do. I can't win anybody to the Lord. Just remember that. I can't win anybody to the Lord. Only Jesus can do that. But he wants to use you to just tell them that God loves them. You know, we go through the checkout and we tell cashiers that God loves them. And every time they say, thank you, I needed that today. And he does love people. And how we need to share that love with people. And this love he's talking about, go back to John chapter 15, starting with verse 9. And this is the third privilege that we have is continuing his love. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continue in my love. Now, in John 13, turn to John 13 for just a moment, in verse 34 and 35. And this is what he says in God's Word. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. And then it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. One of the evidence that you're saved and know Jesus Christ, you're a disciple, you're going to have love. It's so easy to love one another here, isn't it? You know? Our church knocked on doors a lot of times, and boy, you never know what would come to the door sometimes. But you can't do that in yourself. You got to have His love demonstrated in your life that when you open that door, they're ready to hear what you're going to say. And you don't beat them over the head with a Bible, but you share what the Lord's done in your life that they can have the same experience in their life as well. Boy, that makes a difference. When you make it more personal, share what Christ has delivered you out of and what you are now, it really makes a difference. Love. This is agape love that's from God to us. And I'm thankful for this love that He gives to us. But look at the next verse. It says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. We read the book. It's really saying to the Lord that we love you, Lord, because we read your book. That's how He speaks to us, through the Word of God. And He wants us to read the book, and it does make a difference in all of our life as God's people. And then look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. It's talking about love. It says, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down His life for us that we can show the world that He made a difference. His love made a difference. When He on Calvary's cross, nailed to the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, what wonderful love. They cried, come down from the cross, you be the Son of God. But that love made Him stay up there and die. And He was buried. And He rose again. We serve a living Savior, folks. He's alive and well alive in our hearts and lives. But He wants us to show that great love that He had. And we thank the Lord for that. Now let's go to the last privilege that we have that's very important that we all need in our life. Look at verse 11. I skipped verse 11 for a reason. And it says this. In verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. He wants us to have joy. And we shouldn't come to church, oh my goodness, I got to go to church today. Oh my goodness, I get out of bed and I'll go to church? It shouldn't be that way at all. I said, man, I want to go to church. I love Jesus. And I want to get encouraged. I want to have the joy. You know, when you come and you talk to people in fellowship, it just brings joy. A lot of people can't do this, what we're doing right here, right now. A lot of them can't. We take this for granted. We really do. But we need His joy. But one thing about joy, it pleases Him. That He is working in and through my life with, as I continue to pray, as I bear fruit, sharing God's good news, and then He gives me love that I don't have in myself, that I can share it with anybody. And then the last thing, He wants us to have joy. You know, like I said just a while ago, joy is contagious, is very contagious. You come in here with a frown on your face and down in the dumps, boy, everybody gets down in the dumps almost. But He wants to have His joy, and it'll make a difference in our life. And it is a gift from God. And remember, joy is independent of all our circumstances, all of it. Boy, there's a lot of circumstances going on right now. Man, we've lost some friends just this last week of COVID, dying, young, maybe 60-year-old fellow. Mom and daughter died. One of our employees, mom and dad, his sister died, and then the daughter died. But it says in God's Word, in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He wants us to rejoice in Him, all the things He's doing for us and through us. And I like Psalm 30, verse 5, it says that joy comes in the morning. He wants us to have joy in the morning. It's kind of hard to get up when you're down, waking up and trying to get joy. He wants you to be happy and be ready to serve the Lord that day. But it goes back to abiding in Christ, being fruitful in your Christian life, having love, and He gives you joy that's unspeakable. And I'm thankful that He does that. I came across this thing the other day. I was reading it. It says, to come to Christ costs you nothing, but to follow Christ costs you something, but to serve Christ costs you everything. And that's true, how true that is. But you know, we want him to work in our life. And how he can work is studying the book. Study the book. Read the book. Take a book of the Bible and try to read it all the way through. You don't have to read it all at one time. Especially when you get Leviticus. Boy, they got some long verses in there, man. 55 verses in some chapters. My wife and I have been reading through that. And all those sacrifices and everything. But read the book. Read 5 verses, you know. It'll make your day. It really will. I'd like for us to turn our hymnals, please. In the Braille one.